Our scripture comes from 1 Peter, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
From the wars waged on foreign soil to the ever-present battles against poverty and injustice here at home, we are a nation of conflicting ideas and beliefs. We struggle to find the practice behind our principles, to build a perfect union with imperfect hands, to find a single voice in a sea of opinions. In the words of the Apostle Paul, we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the whole of the body. Thankfully, as believers, we look forward to the promise of the day when all nations, all creeds and colors, All opinions and political beliefs will be united as one, a time when we will all bow our knees to our God and King, a time when we can truly say we are one nation under God.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, but these blessings we enjoy daily come at a high price. The shed blood of God's only Son paved the way for mankind's freedom and salvation from sin, and the blood and sacrifice of our forefathers laid the foundation for our freedom from tyranny and oppression. Many brave men laid down their lives so that we might have peace and freedom to worship God in our hearts and be homes without fear. Join with us as we praise the God of our forefathers and sing the battle hymn of the Republic.
Beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom now transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on.
And so, we lift our hands and hearts to God, asking for the strength to expand his kingdom here on earth, and looking forward to his glorious appearing in the skies. Looking always forward to the day when we all bow before his throne as one nation under God.
Shall we all repeat together that pledge to strive for one nation under God, our nation's pledge of allegiance? Now stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have been down, but we have not been broken. Risen from the ashes with the hope born of faith. Holding to dreams, knowing we will be stronger. People of purpose, truly blessed by God's grace. America, beautiful, strong. One nation under one God. With our hands across our hearts, we pledge our allegiance to the God of our fathers, to this land of across our hearts, we pledge our devotion for a unified nation in word and in deed, committed to living our lives to simple freedom for all that is right.
Struggle, and I'm determined
we will fight the good fight. America, beautiful, strong, one nation under one God, with our hands across the heart, we pledge allegiance to the God of our Father, to this land of the free, with our hands across the heart, we pledge our devotion.
We are loved beyond our ability to comprehend. We are blessed beyond our capacity to understand. We are privileged to live in a nation founded on godly principles, the ideals of freedom, liberty, and justice. Today we reflect on these blessings. Let us take time to remember the God from whom they come. Let us never forget that it is only by the grace and mercy of God that we enjoy these liberties, and let us celebrate the God who wants to reign in each of us today.
We've been blessed as a nation, Lord, blessed by your hand. The freedom that we enjoy, to the beauty of our land. We have shed your grace upon us time and time again. We give you all the praise. What more can we say? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will honor you, we will praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will honor you, we will thank you for the rest of our day. Hallelujah, the rest of our day. About it is you we celebrate.
And so we lift our hands and hearts to God, asking for the strength to expand his kingdom here on earth, and looking forward to his glorious appearing in the skies, looking always forward to the day when we all bow before his throne, one day, as a nation under God.
What can bring us back to being one nation under God? So I want to share with you just one verse of Scripture, the verse that Brother Curtis read, and I want to call our attention back to it. It's found in 1 Peter 2:9, and I'm just going to read it one more time to refresh our memories. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." I wonder if we might bow in just a word of prayer together. Father, we just ask your blessing now upon your word, and just teach us principles, teach us truths that we can apply to our lives and to our lives together as a nation, that we might be that one holy nation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a lot of revisionist history today about America and how America is not truly a Christian nation. I believe, though, if anyone will take the time to study the documents of our founding fathers, they will have to conclude that these were men who believed in the Christian gospel. They were not ashamed to name the name of Jesus Christ. And their purpose was united in founding a godly nation, a nation where people would be truly free. They understood that Christ came to set us free. And they wanted to embody that ideal in a nation, a holy nation, if you will. But I realize that in this world, we're always going to fall short of that holy nation that God intends for us to be. But as Christians, we ought to be a holy nation. One day, we will, as you may have heard in the musical this morning, we will be before God's throne. We will be worshiping Him together. There will not be the national divides that we have now, racial divides, the other things that divide us as a people. We are one people. We are a one race. If we believe the Bible, God created Adam and Eve, and from them the whole human race sprang. And I believe that. I believe it's important that we believe that, because our salvation, I really believe, depends upon it. In the book of Romans, it says that as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So it's all part of the gospel. And I want to share with you this morning what I believe being one holy nation means. It means, first of all, that we honor our calling. That we honor our calling as a nation. Now in that calling, let's look at the scripture before us again. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, I realize God's word isn't talking about America there, except that I believe our founders intended that we be that holy nation. I believe it's the only nation perhaps on earth that was founded with that goal in mind. It's certainly, I believe, the first, and there have been others perhaps since then. Our nation's founders realized that God's calling was on America. There were unique circumstances that brought this nation to existence here on these shores. And you've studied it in your history, I'm sure. How remarkable are the circumstances that God led in founding this nation here. Well, here it says that we are a chosen people. There's a selectivity in that calling. Chosen people. You'll recognize that term. That was a term used of Israel. But it's also a term used for the church. We are chosen. We are a chosen people. We are the apple of God's eye. Now, I happen to believe that God isn't done with Israel, that God will fulfill His promises to His old covenant people, Israel. But He had raised up because of the rejection of Israel, He raised up a church. And He says that we are His people. We have been adopted as part of His people. Now, in our society today, there are a lot of people who feel like, I'm just worthless. Why am I here? God must have made a mistake in creating me, because I don't seem to have any talent. I don't seem to have any ability. I don't even know what my purpose is. Well, what a tragedy, because God has called us His chosen. You are a chosen people. Now, He's speaking there to Christians. If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ and you have trusted Him as your Savior, then you can know that you have been chosen. The reason why you are saved is that you have been chosen. And I believe that if you're here this morning and you're not saved, God has still chosen you to hear the good news of Christ and to receive Him into your life. He loves you. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He called us. So there's selectivity in that calling. There's certainly spirituality. These words also speak of the spiritual origin of the Christian nation. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, it says, a holy nation. And then there's a term there, I think in the King James Version, doesn't it say we are peculiar people? Now, I'm sure you know somebody that's really peculiar, and it's not you, of course. Or maybe you think that you're peculiar. Well, in the sense of the Bible, we are peculiar. We are actually, what that means is that we have been chosen and bought by God. We have been purchased. And I believe it speaks of our being bought by the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us. We are a blood-bought people. So there's selectivity in that calling. There's spirituality. There's also society, because it calls us a royal priesthood. Now, a priesthood, of course, is a society of priests, a holy nation. And incidentally, you are a priest if you're a Christian. You have direct access to God. You don't have to go through someone else. Isn't that great? Awesome? That you don't have to have somebody pray for you, although sometimes it's helpful to have somebody pray for us. But you can go directly into the presence of God. I suppose I can think of some presidents that had children. Well, do you think any of their children had to get appointments to see their father? I doubt it. I think they came into the office whether he wanted them in there or not. Well, he probably was glad. because he was their father. He loved them. Well, God that much more loves us because of Christ. And because of Christ's blood shed for us, he looks at us through the blood of his Son, his precious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are a society. We are a society as no other society. We're not a secret society. Now, there are secret societies, but we're an open society. The Bible says, with open face, we worship God. And we had the doors open. And God invites all to come. You don't have to be a select few. But whosoever will, the Bible says, let him take the water of life freely. So whoever you may be, God wants you to be saved if you're not saved already. And if you are saved, be thankful because you are chosen. So there is a calling here. There's also a commission. And notice in this commission, and I want to read the part of the verse that has to deal with that. It says that you may declare, we are a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to declare his praises. Now I see in this commission, first of all, ascending. Now we can't declare his praises unless we go. I think, you know, declaring his praises in a closet, I mean, that might do us good. It might do the heart of God good, but it doesn't influence others to know him. But I think that we declare his praises in many ways. I don't think we just go out and, you know, we wreck the car and we say, praise the Lord. Or the wife wrecks the car, or the husband wrecks the car, or the son or daughter or whatever. Or some other tragedy happens, or we hit our thumb with a hammer. Rather than cry out and pray pain, we say, praise the Lord. No, we don't do that. But I think we live a life of praise. We have a joy in our hearts. We have a song in our hearts. We have a joyful expression on our face. Not necessarily one of those cheesy smiles that look like they were pasted on, but an inner joy and an inner peace. That's what we do. As we go about our lives, we lift him up. We lift Jesus up. And we bring others to know him as we do so. And so there's ascending here. There's a sounding. Here it says that we should show forth or declare, publish, or demonstrate. Now Paul said about I believe it was the Thessalonian believers. He said, from you sounded out the word of God. Actually, it could be translated rang out like a bell. It was clear. It was loud. It was noticeable. And people wanted to know this Jesus that had so changed their lives. Well, we need to be sent, and we are sent. And I'm sure you're probably thinking of the Great Commission where Jesus said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we are to go. There's a sending, there's a sounding, and obviously a spreading. Here it says that we may declare his praises, who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, if you've had something wonderful happen to you, why, people don't have to pry it out of you. If you just had a grandchild born in your family, why, you'll approach a total stranger who's totally uninterested. And you'll whip that billfold out with that 3-foot-long portfolio of pictures. And you'll describe each one. You just can't be shut up about it. It's just so taken over your life. If you'll take the time to read the Word of God and spend time knowing him and knowing about his love for you, knowing how he sent his Son to die for you on the cross, well, it'll become the most wonderful thing to you. And you'll just naturally want to tell others about him. So there's a calling. There's a commission. But there's also a character in that holy nation. I see it and hear it in the words here, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Character is very important as a nation. We are known to be a compassionate nation. I hope that's still true. I fear that it's not as true as maybe it should be true. But still, as America, we are known to be a compassionate people. We're the most giving people on earth. More has money and other goods have been given by this nation than any other nation. But we need to realize that just generosity alone is not enough. Character is very important. And I fear that as a nation, we have forfeited that godly character, that pure purity, that sincere love for walking in truth. We have taken the Ten Commandments off of many courtroom walls. And I remember as a child, we had the Ten Commandments up on the schoolroom wall. When we thought about fighting or something, which we often did, why, we'd think of that commandment that says, do not kill. Or maybe we had this grudge against the teacher. And, you know, when we heard the commandment, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness, and you know the others. It had an impact upon our lives. We knew what was right and wrong. And sometimes we suffered the consequences for doing wrong. Well, we need to get back to our character as a nation. There's an origination of that character. It says, God has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. We need to get back to God as a nation. We need to make it more than a slogan, under God. We need to make it true in our lives. Because if it's not true in our lives, how can we expect as a nation it's going to be true? So let me ask you, are you under God? Have you submitted to Him? Have you trusted in the one that He has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior? There's an origination, there's an illumination here. It says, who has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. I'm sure we're all familiar with the Statue of Liberty. It says on the base there, I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Give me your tired, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And I can't quote the whole poem, but it's a great ideal. That Statue of Liberty, that torch burning there in New York Harbor, that has stood as a beacon for freedom for many of our ancestors who came to this land, and many today who yearn to breathe free. We need to keep that ideal alive. We need to keep it alive in our own lives. We need to lift up the light of Jesus. Let His light shine. He said, we are the light of the world. And if we're not shining for Jesus, then it's going to be a very dark world. It's going to be dark around us. And so let us let His light in, and let it not only into our lives, but shine out around us. There's illumination here. There's also salvation. It says, God, who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Now, there is a place in the Bible that's called outer darkness. And it's a place that, ironically, is a place of fire. Now, you'd think a place of fire would be, there'd be a lot of light. This fire is pretty bright. But this is a place that is so far from the light of God that the Bible calls it a place of eternal darkness. And I don't want to go to that place. That's why one reason why I invited Jesus to come into my life. Now, some say, well, that's a bad motive. Why we shouldn't fear punishment to be saved. We shouldn't fear that God is that kind of a God that would send somebody to a terrible place like that. But God has done everything possible to keep us from going to that place. He has sent His Son to die for us on the cross. He has paid the debt of our salvation in full. And all we need to do is come to that cross and trust Jesus as our Savior. I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't already. I want to encourage you to rededicate your life to the Lord and to being one life under God, and your family to being one family under God, and this church to be a church under God, and to pray that our nation once more would be one nation under God.